Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yes, 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 it's that time again. It's 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, and this is the Master Plan.
Yay, yay, yeah.
JT, thank you for the compliment. That happened to be Salt and Pepper with the En Vogue group. That's the group of the 90s. Today, we introduced, let me put it this way. We brought in the women in the 90s, okay, the girl groups of the 90s. That's going to be the opening, and that's going to be the closing. We're going to have a different close, and it's going to be girl groups of the 90s. That's what's happening today for the music. For each time, each week, there's going to be different old school music, but it's going to be have a different theme every week. Week or so ago or whatever, I had Latino music. This is girl groups. Who knows what kind of theme I'm going to have next week, but it's all going to be good music. Let me finish doing all that. This is, like I said, the Master Plan. I'm JT, and we're going to be talking on fantasy football today. This is one of my favorite subjects to play, favorite games to play, I should say. I'm in the throes of a fantasy baseball season right now, but we're not big talking about that now. We're talking about running backs. I love my running backs. I believe in running backs. Especially triple threat running backs that can block, I can catch, and definitely run the ball. So that's what I'm should say. Let me put it this way. I'm sorry. I'm so excited about what we're doing today that I'm going a little bit nuts here. Let me bring it down. Take a deep breath, Jerry, and say this. I like dual threat backs that can run the ball and pass the ball. I've brought out a few backs over the years that have exploded on the scene. I think I can do that again to help you in your fantasy football drafts and even during the year. Fantasy football season is right around the corner. Training camp is right around the corner. Today is the 15th of July, 10 days from now approximately. Training camps are going to start opening up or will have opened maybe the 24th, 25th. I'm not exactly sure. I know they start opening up the 25th at least. So that's the throes of the football season starting. You get training camp and then you get preseason games. And then preseason games, let the real games begin. Now, I want to preface this by saying this is July 15th, like you all know. And anything can change. This is the pre-training camp because you know somebody's going to get hurt in training camp. More than likely, you know somebody substantial may be getting hurt in the preseason games just before the season starts. So I'm saying as it's pristine right now, the players that are either coming back from injury or the players that are healthy, this is how I would see it. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say it again. It's 347-637-3220. We're talking running backs. And each head coach that has a stud running back says the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what they're talking about. We're talking about running backs. So without further ado, let's start getting into the running backs. One more thing. I'm sorry. Like I said, I'm excited, and I'm not paying attention to what I'm doing here. We have a chat room. If you'd like to join us in the chat room without making a phone call and calling in, you can do that. I'm here looking at the chat room. And we'll take any calls that I'll take any comments on the chat room and deal with them, because that's how we roll. So, like I said, without further ado, let's walk down how I see the top running backs or the running backs, and hopefully I'll get to what I is your team. Now we also have Black the Bookie calling in. He texted me earlier today, very early today, and told me he had some sound clips of Dream Team America, or Team America, whatever, the Dream Team, whatever you want to call them, 2012, along with the Coach K. So he'll be calling in probably halfway through this hour, around 10:15, 10:30, somewhere in that time frame. Hopefully you'll get a chance to have him in there. But I really want to try to get through as many running backs as I can. If I don't finish today, folks, I guarantee you I'm going to finish next week. We got a lot of information to put out. I know I'm talking and wasting time, but I want to make sure you understand what's going on. And I also want you to get a pen and piece of paper, or you can go into archives after about 20 minutes after this show and listen to, if you missed something, just listen to it. If you missed it, then you can, quite naturally, you can rewind it and listen to it again. But let's get to this. And like I said, this is just because of how things are right now. But like anything else, it can change due to injury or whatever, or player gets traded to another team, or for whatever happens. I mean, crazy things can happen in the world of sports. You know that. And I want to just make sure that you don't come yelling at me, well, I don't know what I'm talking about. But things change. As they are right now, this is how I see it. The number one man, like everyone who plays fantasy football knows, there may be some opinions that may change, but this guy's yard per carry dipped to a career low. Thanks to maybe his second gear is waning, okay? But he did show off his trademark initial burst, elite patience and gliding balance, and uncanny ability to slip tackles for extra yards. I guess he was sidelined earlier in last year's season in September because of a hamstring injury, but he closed strong. He had 552 yards and 5 touchdowns and 93 carries in the final 4 games for the Texans, including the playoffs. He's only one of 5 backs in NFL history with a back-to-back season of 1,000 yards and 600 receiving. He finished as the number one fantasy points per game for the second consecutive campaign. The only thing that's changed from last year to this year is they lost 2 offensive linemen, the right tackle Eric Winston and the right guard Mike Brizio, to free agency. But he may have to make a slight adjustment with the 2 new offensive linemen, Rashad Butler and Antoine Caldwell, who entered the starting lineup and are on the right side of the offensive line. But the zone blocking screen, excuse me, the zone blocking scheme, he should still have success with that. He's one of the game's most consistent all-around threat as a runner and a red zone hammer. Foster is right on the money, top selection in fantasy football drafts, in my opinion. I told quite a few people about this guy a few years back before he exploded. In fact, I called the first game he played that he started in the 2010 season against the Indianapolis Colts that he would absolutely explode. He, if I'm not mistaken, he ran for at least two touchdowns, could have been three, and he had over 250 yards. So this guy had been on my radar for a few years, and he exploded the last 2 years. Quite naturally, he got hurt early part of last year, but he still wound up the number one running back in fantasy football. Let's move on. Now, I had picked this guy out, and I had, when I was drafting, this is a guy I targeted in early in my drafts. If I was able to get one of the first five picks, as long as this guy wasn't picked, because a lot of people slept on this guy, I didn't. A lot of people slept on this guy. I consider him the number two, and seriously contending for the number one spot, without a doubt. I call him BW2, which is Brian Westbrook 2 from the Philadelphia Eagles. He's a perfect fit for Andy Reid's offense. He maximizes his strength. He's got short area quickness. He explodes to the hole, to the corner, and more power than people expect in the short yardage situations. Last year, if you had seen this guy early in the season, I was screaming at the TV because what's happening earlier this year? The guy scored 20 touchdowns. Thereabouts, he would have scored more touchdowns, but for the simple reason, earlier in the year, if you had noticed, when it got short yardage, Andy Reid pulled him out and put in a substitute like Ronnie Brown, because Ronnie Brown was on there, and Ronnie Brown's a bigger back, and it proved to be, I wouldn't say their undoing, but it proved to be not advantageous to take LeSean McCoy out, because I think the topper to not put Ronnie Brown in down there, the goal line, is when Ronnie Brown decided to go into the line, got turned upside down with his back facing the ground and him facing the air, and decided to try to lateral the ball back, and quite naturally it ended up bad, and that was probably the straw that broke the camel's back. And after that, LeSean McCoy was the goal line back. He had quite a year. He also got a 45 million dollar contract extension this past year. So, and the offensive line basically is intact, except for the injured Jason Peters. I expect this guy to be no less than what he is now. I don't expect him to score, maybe not score as many touchdowns as he scored this past season, which was 20. But he remains as high as any fantasy back, and he's definitely as long as he's healthy, he is the reincarnation of Brian Westbrook. If you watch the older, not older film, you watch the films prior to LeSean McCoy, when Brian Westbrook was at his prime and was a featured back on the Philadelphia Eagles, Andy Reid hasn't skipped a beat with this kid. This kid's only 24 years old, and he's got big-time potential. Trust me, he's got big-time potential, and I consider him the number one pick number two pick, and maybe sometimes some of us may pick him number one. over Arian Foster, but I definitely think he's at least the number two pick in the draft. Going forward from that, now you know this guy. He had a contract dispute. He was out of shape, and his interior offensive line was not that good. The number three back in the draft for me, and not necessarily number three back to draft, I mean number three overall the draft, I consider this guy to be let me digress here for a minute, because I'm screwing up here, and I got to slow myself down. This guy is going through a contract dispute, okay? Hopefully he doesn't hold out. Hopefully he's learned from the past from other guys that have held out and not had a good season because of the holdout. He was underutilized last year for almost half the season. But he's every bit of the workhorse for the Baltimore Ravens. For the last final five weeks of the season, last year, he was fantasy's top back. He helped the Baltimore Ravens constantly throughout the year. As long as he stays healthy, there's few backs can match his consistency and in touches and effectiveness while playing all three downs and handling goal line chores. And if you notice, they haven't added a back that's going to take away from his carries when and if he signs. So trust me when I say this. This guy is the real deal, has been for a while, and he averaged a 4.7 yards per carry. Ray Rice, you need to get signed. Trust me, this guy is you won't be disappointed if you don't get the first two. I mean, Arian Foster and LeSean McCoy. As long as he stays healthy, as long as he comes in on time, Ray Rice is definitely the number three pick overall, in my opinion, in the draft. In my opinion, I don't believe in taking quarterbacks high in the draft. I believe the first thing you take is a stud running back if you're within the first five picks in the draft. After that, then depending on who's the best available player is who you pick. Anyway, I'm not going to start going into draft philosophy, but I just wanted to relay it out there. All right, the number three back in my opinion, number four back in my opinion. Like I was saying before, this guy had a contract holdout. He had a breakout big time year the year before. Most guys when they have a year like that, statistically, when they have over 2,000 yards, which is not that rare, but the statistics and common sense would tell you that he's not going to repeat a 2,000-yard year. That takes a lot of work, takes a lot out of you. You only got so many runs in you, and it happened. He wanted to capitalize on his I wouldn't say breakout year, but he wanted to capitalize on that. He held out. Affected him. It definitely affected him. He came in out of shape. He was the fantasy biggest bust in the first half of the season. He set careers low across the board. Yards per carry. He only had four touchdowns. His per scrimmage yards were about earlier in the season was 71.5 yards. The second half it was more respectable, 111. But in the earlier part of the year when he came back from his holdout, he was blaming his offensive line, which is not a good thing to do, even though his offensive line may have been causing the problems of him not being able to get through. And the fact is that He out of shape, offensive line, and it happens. What are you going to do? I see this guy making a nice comeback, especially in the running back position that he's in, and under the coach that he's in. They're talking in Tennessee of being a more explosive offense, and I can see Chris Johnson, who's added 8 to 10 pounds of muscle, who's been in off-season conditioning and voluntary OTAs, so I expect him to come back and roughly get about between 16 and 1,800 yards and be once again one of the top running backs in the league. I think he's in the draft. I think he's not in the top five. I wouldn't take Chris Johnson in the top five in a draft, but he's my number four running back. We're just talking running back, so he's my number four running back as I see it. Moving on, I think this kid. I'm up and down on this kid. I really am up and down on this kid. I've been going back and forth for quite a while with this kid. When he first came out of college and went to the San Diego Chargers along with Javid Best, I told everyone that would listen that I thought Javid Best would be better of the two backs. I thought that he would be a bust. Let me tell you something, people. Let me tell you something. I'm not blowing my own horn, but this is what I'm telling you. I said Ryan Matthews, this is who I'm talking about, would be a bust in his rookie year, and Javid Best would be better. And that's exactly what happened. Ryan Matthews came in out of shape and wasn't durable, was getting hurt, and he was in fact that he had some mature issues that he had to deal with, had to do some growing up issues. I think he's done that. Unfortunately, he's an injury risk. I think he's a number five back, the best number five back going around here, but he's an injury risk. So high risk, high reward. Mike Tolbert's not there. Backup is Ronnie Brown. Mike Tolbert, understand what I'm saying. Mike Tolbert is not there. He's arguably one of the most efficient tailbacks in the NFL. He's averaged 5.7 yards every time he touched the ball last season, and that's tops among all backs with 200-plus combined carries and catches. You know Norv Turner likes to use the running back in all types of situations, running the ball and catching the ball. So Ronnie Brown is the only one there. The offensive line is healthy. The only issue is him being durable enough to deal with a 16-game season. So Norv Turner plans to give Ryan Matthews everything he can handle this season. That's a quote from Norv Turner. Everything he can handle. So I think Ryan Matthews is the number five back in this draft, and I think he's going to have a good season, a very good season. He's the man. A lot of these teams are going with running back by committee. Ryan Matthews is the man, running back by committee. Now, all these backs, I'm telling you, none of these backs have any really stiff competition, albeit Arian Foster does. But only reason Arian Foster will get replaced is if he gets injured. But a lot of these coaches are going run back by committee. All five of these backs I'm giving you are the man. No running back by committee. They are the man. Arian Foster, the man. LeSean McCoy is the man. Chris Johnson is the man. Ray Rice is the man. Ryan Matthews is the man. So what people are telling you, the so-called experts are telling you that it's a quarterback-driven league. I understand that. But you need running back. And preferably, at all three of these running backs, if you notice, they're the five top running backs that, as I see it, and I'm not finished with the running backs, but these guys right now are double, dual threats, catching the ball, running the ball, and being able to catch the ball in space and be effective. So understand what I'm saying when I say this. This is one of the quarterback's best friends. I understand quarterback is quarterback-driven league. I understand that. You get a lot of points, consistent points with quarterbacks. But if you get a chance to get a stud stud running back first, worry about your quarterbacks. Look how many teams there are that have good quarterbacks. About half the league has good quarterbacks. I can think of five great quarterbacks. Let's think about that for a minute. Just before I digress, let's think about that. We got Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Matthew Stafford, and who am I leaving out here? Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Matthew Stafford. Now, that's not to say that Michael Vick can't come back. That's not to say that Peyton Manning can't come back. Eli Manning's no slouch. So I'm just naming the seven or eight quarterbacks right now, all right, that you'll have a chance to get in your fantasy draft. But you got to have a stud running back because the crop of running backs, very extremely good running backs, drop off is very great compared to the drop off of the great quarterbacks to very good quarterbacks. If you understand what I'm saying, there's a lot less great running backs versus great quarterback options that you can use. So you want to grab the best running back that you can possibly grab before you grab a quarterback. I know, you know, a lot of people get enamored, get in love with the quarterback. I won two championships. I was in four Super Bowls last year. I was in four Super Bowls last year, won half of those. And I was in eight teams. So half of my leagues, I won. I was in the final game. Trust me when I say this. The other half, because of injury issues and other circumstances beyond you, you can be in the playoffs but not make it to the finals. I was in the playoffs over half my leagues, and I won the half that I was in. I went to the dance, the final dance. Half of my leagues, half of the final dance I won. So I won two leagues. One was a pay league, one was a free league. So running backs. I truly believe your foundation first is your running back, and then whatever you want, the best available player from there, whether it's a wide receiver or another running back or a quarterback, the best available player. But your basis should be trying to get the best running back that you can possibly get wherever you're drafting, and then go from there. Now, number six, running back. Now, this guy, trust me when I say this guy at one point was the man for 6 weeks last season. He was the number one fantasy back for 6 weeks last season. They thought he had a minor foot injury, you know, a midfoot sprain. You know, when in quotations marks, when you have a midfoot sprain, that sends signals, big signals up, big up in the sky, big signals saying, "Uh-oh, he's got a list, Frank," and which is a problem because ask Antonio Gates. Now ask Darren McFadden, who's the number six running back that I'm saying. He was hitting holes with authority last year. He was killing people. He was absolutely killing people last year until he got hurt, and he missed the last nine games. And he's missed a total of 19 games in four NFL seasons. And he's only gotten over 113 carries just once, okay? So what's that telling you? If you, this is a high risk, this is extremely high risk, high reward back. But he's, when he's healthy, he's as dynamic as they come. Super speed, very elusive, can catch the ball. Definitely a, that's six backs now. And counting, six backs that are dual threats. You want to get a dual threat back. He's the most versatile back. He doesn't come off the field. He stays on the field for three downs. That's who you want. That's your stud, okay? This backup, Michael Bush is gone. The Raiders got Mike Goosen to compete with another back that I'm going to talk about later on if I get the chance for the number two job. The new offensive coordinator, Greg Knapp, runs the zone blocking scheme. So we'll have to wait and see, but, you know, you got Carson Palmer with a full training camp with the explosive wide receivers that they have, with Darius Haywood Bay, Denorius Moore, and company. Going to open the field up, and Darren McFadden, as long as he stays healthy, is going to be running wild. He's going to be running wild. Trust me when I say this. If you get Darren McFadden, you better get a good, capable backup. You better get a good, capable backup. And it looks like I got Mr. Black, the bookie, calling me here. Let's change directions and talk to Black. Welcome to the Master Plan. How you doing there, my brother?
Oh, good morning, sir. Good morning.
What's happened to you, man?
Oh, nothing much. Nothing much, man. Just chiming in. I see you talking fantasy running back.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I'm probably not going to finish it all, but that's okay. This is not the only week I'm going to do it. You were at the tell us where you were at. Let me put it that way.
Oh, I was at the Team USA practice yesterday at the D.C. Armory. They held a special event there for the Hoops for Troops, which was definitely an honor to be there to see all the troops being entertained by the NBA players and the Wizards staff. But it was a very good event. It was also the Nike Basketball Festival was going on. Team California beat Team D.C., so they'll move on to the finals today versus New York. So if you're in the D.C. area and you want to check out some basketball, the Nike World Basketball Festival is going on today at the D.C. Armory.
Okay. And you've gotten, I see you've gotten about five interviews, or were you caught some interviews in progress.
What they told us was going to happen didn't happen, so it was like a all men for yourself. So I had to just get in where I fit in.
Okay.
Grab a couple of sound bites in there, so that's,
okay.
That's what these are.
Okay, I got these sound bites. I don't know what you want to set up first before I play it. You tell me, and then we'll go from there.
I guess we can save Coach for last. We could probably start out with the KD interview. It's rather lengthy. The voice you're going to hear in the background is actually Darren Williams being interviewed right beside him. So might get a little confusing, but you can hear KD if you just let him.
Okay, let's hear this.
What do you make of Brazil? Is that a chance to go against a team with a lot of big?
Yeah, we got games that we got here. So,
we always have trouble with those guys. So we get better. The test was on my U.S. experience.
That's pretty bad. I couldn't decipher what was going on there, man.
Yeah. They didn't have any guys separated, so.
Right.
That was a hard one to get. You can see if you can cue up Carmelo Anthony one.
Carmelo Anthony, okay.
Carmelo Anthony.
I don't think that they made it worse. You know, just to have
Baltimore over there, all the way over there in London. You know, it's only a few people that can say they represent Baltimore.
Thank you so much.
You seem to love you down here.
Huh?
You seem to love you down here.
I'm home.
He's
I'm
a
home.
Man.
I'm home. I'm home.
You ever had a practice like that? Did you guys do Midnight Man at Syracuse?
No, they did it after I left.
That's what it kind of felt like a little bit here.
Yeah, it's Midnight Man. I never experienced Midnight Man.
But
Leon wasn't trying to do that back then. He switched up on me when I left.
Once you won a title, you could actually have fun?
Yeah, he started having fun. He got that monkey off his back and started having fun again.
What did this feel like? I mean, did you feel like you had anything done? I mean, I never heard, you know, people cheering in practice before.
I never heard nobody cheering in practice. Well, even Coach K usually don't let nobody talk in practice, but I don't know how he was going to control this crowd today. But we had fun, man. We felt like we got something accomplished from a basketball standpoint. But just being here in front of these, you know, these guys, these, you know, the troops and the military, you can't put that in words how that made us feel.
What can you say about Coach K's influence and his impact on you guys?
He's definitely motivating in every aspect of life, man. Not only as a basketball coach, but as a person. You know, for him to just sit down with us and just really put this all together as far as us practicing in front of the troops today. You can't ask for nothing better than that.
What do you think your toughest matchup is going to be overseas?
Everybody. You know, we got a target on our back, and we're preparing ourselves for that. We know it's not going to be easy for us to go up there and repeat, but we're accepting all challenges up ahead of us.
After a long NBA season, how are you guys going to keep going through the summer games? I mean, is it going to be rigorous? How are you going to keep yourself?
I mean, it's over with August 12th. We don't have to training camp until October, you know, beginning of October, so we have a lot of time to rest up and get ready.
Okay. Well, they would understand that a lot better than the last one.
Yeah.
Who'd you like to go to next?
You could queue up the Kevin Love. You're going to have me chat with DA right quick in the beginning.
Okay.
Kevin Love. What's going on, dear? Good to see you
hey,
again,
man.
How you
been?
Good.
He's ready to go back.
I really just see it. You know, the guys can see, you know, kind of when I'm stepping out of bounds. I think James was having flashbacks of when I used to throw it on him at ASU, so he was able to get a layup. And Russell and I, we're always able to, you know, get there. We know, you know, at the free throw line when that's going to happen for us. So we just try to keep the defense on their toes and either get a 3-on-2 or a 2-on-1 or, you know, a fast break layup by himself.
And what do you like about the Brazil matchup on Monday in terms of a chance to set yourself against a team with size?
I think it's going to be great for us. I think we need this, you know, right now so we can all, you know, come together and play a higher level of basketball. So I feel like Brazil is going to be, you know, very tough for us because in 2010 they took us right down to the wire.
What have you guys told you about the 2008 experience?
You know, that it's you know, can't really be, you know, replicated, especially not at the, I mean, they were in Beijing. It's obviously going to be different than it is in London. But, you know, we're going to be the team that everybody's going to be watching. And, you know, you just have to keep your head on a swivel, whether it's, you know, off the court, on the court, and just, you know, be ready for anything and everything needs to be expected.
Do you hope to even get out and see some other sports and other events?
Oh, of course. I mean, I grew up watching the Olympics. I don't even think you need to be a sports fan in order to watch them because it's kind of a way of feeling patriotic. So, you know, I'm definitely going to, you know, try to check out swimming, track and field, gymnastics, and whatever sports really come our way.
If you guys wanted to win the gold medal, how would that stack up on the other
things? For me, it'd be tremendous. I think the world championships in 2010 was great. I think Olympic gold medal would be right up there at the top of my career. There's not, like I mentioned, you can't really duplicate that experience unless you've been there two or three times, like some of these guys. So I think it's going to be a tremendous experience, and hopefully August 12th we'll be walking away with that gold medal.
Is that dynamic from that 2010 team? Is that dramatically different with this group? Is it?
No, I think it's just guys that have been there, done that, guys that experienced different things. So it's going to be good for us to you know, get out there with them and you know, make something happen.
Sweet.
They got a little chaotic in there at the end there, so.
Oh, it was chaotic all over the place. I mean, you talk about military families getting the opportunity to see all these guys in one place. along with the media pressure, it got kind of hectic last night.
With the major news organizations there or what?
Plenty of media. You're talking about Team USA.
Okay. I didn't know how extensively it was covered. That's why I was asking, but that probably was a dumb question. Anyway, let's go to my other Nick, Tyson Chandler, and see what he has to say.
Yeah.
Well, my uncles were just very disciplined. You know, I like served time, you know, they taught me, you know, values and work ethic, value your job, and just the way you approach things on a day to day.
Uncle's in the Army or Navy?
Yeah,
or?
My uncle was in the Army. You know, my father served time in the Marines.
Thank you, sir.
Tyson, excuse me, I have a question for Mr. Chandler. Sir, I'm Ronnie, I do special. How do you feel the kid on your team coming up this coming year and Cam is coming back on the team?
I'm very excited. You know, Jason brings something that you know, we didn't have last year at the 25 position. You know, he keeps guys calm and you know, keeps us ready for every situation that we have to embark on.
That's great because it still seems you doing so well. Coming in the next time, great season.
Yeah.
And now, you know, having Chase and Mark gets coming back on the team must be very exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we need all the victory help we can get. You know, it's always great when you have guys that have been through it and help you out in situations where, you know, times get hard.
Tyson, speaking of the other point card, he just got an offer yesterday.
Yeah,
Jackson.
You guys have obviously known that was coming. Any surprise, any expectation he won't be back? Or?
You know, it's difficult now. I don't know what the situation is going to be. You know, they put us in a tough situation as far as the organization goes. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen from here forward.
I'm sure you obviously like to be back.
Obviously, yeah. But, you know, I would definitely like him to be back. But, you know, I don't know what it does to the team as far as financial. So, you know, we'll see where it goes from there.
Ty, do you think Carmelo's got a bad rap in New York and kind of player?
You know, I don't listen to too much stuff out there, to be honest with you. But if there is any negative things out there, then yes. You know, Carmelo's an excellent player. You know, he provides so much. And, you know, hopefully next year we put the players around him to help him succeed in different situations.
Do you think a Jason Kidd will help that?
Absolutely. You know, it's a point guard that he can trust in and understand that, you know, he's going to get him the ball in the right positions and, you know, be able to call the right place at the right time. You know, somebody that he knows he can just lean on.
Right. Thank you.
I want to go say hello to the
and Black. Last but not least, this had to be. I don't know how close you were when you got this this soundbite to Coach K, but this has got to be a privilege to be able to at least get close enough for this guy to speak some words that you picked up.
Yeah, Coach K, it was an honor to meet Coach K. Let me tell you that I might hate on the team, Duke, but it was definitely an honor to be one of the legends of basketball, Coach K.
Coach K.
Trying to win a gold medal, so I'd rather not spend any time going position by position or anything like that with other teams.
Could you talk about the setup that you have put together here, Vegas, D.C., London, and then getting ready for London itself with the stop in Manchester in between, obviously?
Yeah, well, first of all, you have to pay the bills. You know, the USA basketball is not funded by anybody, so the exhibitions we do and that, and the sponsorships we have help pay for all this. There's not some pot of gold at the end of the rainbow that you just keep picking out of. So that and getting the experience of being together playing against outstanding teams. Brazil is an outstanding team. We'll play Argentina and Spain, who are also outstanding teams. So we'll get a lot out of those games.
How Mike, what does this event mean to you personally?
This event today, how important was it?
Yeah, this is a huge event. You know, we had we invited the chairs of the Joint Chiefs out for dinner last night with our staff. And so we had a great meal, and we shared, first of all, our thanks to them. But I'm very close friends with Marty Dempsey, so even during this past Duke season, he was at one of our games, home games, and afterwards we met. We were talking about it last night. We thought that that was the single biggest gesture that they could give us in support of us, and that we taking them, accepting them, would be an honor of them. And so today was a special day.
Mike, given the nature of today's practice, were you able to accomplish things that you wanted to get done?
Actually, today worked out fairly well. You know, we understand it's kind of actually, every day with USA Basketball is a little bit different. And not bad, but certainly different. But today was different in a very spectacular way. All our guys were proud to be here. And I didn't know how much we would go up and down the court. I thought we might do a little bit more X's and O's, but the guy said, you know, let's play, coach, you know, and to get a run in. The more we play, and, you know, we haven't had a chance to play against each other in a practice except once because we've only had nine guys. You know, we've had Darren with contract, Chris out, okay, and then we had guys hurt. And we have guys hurt, so we had nine guys, and so this is the second time only that they've played 5-on-5 against one another. We played 5-on-5 against the select team, but they like to play against, and you can only do so much of that because you're concerned about, you know, getting hurt. And, you know.
Because you've got so many guys.
Yeah, Carmelo's beautiful. I mean, I love Carmelo. You talk about commitment. This is his third Olympics. He's played in a world championship. And as good a player as he is in the NBA, I think he's one of the really outstanding international players because the game's physical. And for us, you know, he'll be playing the 4 and the 5. We have interchangeable positions. And because we don't have the big guys, you know, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Carmelo will all be at the 4 and the 5. And Andre Iguodala will be at one of the bigs, too. So we have to compensate our loss of big guys with athleticism. That's what we're trying. But Carmelo's been great.
Thanks, all. Appreciate it.
Thanks, all.
No
problem,
man. No problem.
I came up on it late.
Well, I have to say, Black, that, it's nothing new, nothing that I wasn't thinking before about Carmelo. He singled Carmelo out as praising him. The knock on Carmelo is that he's a selfish player, and I think he's far from that. I think he puts it on himself because he doesn't have the pieces around him, whatever teams he's been on. But he's got a cast of characters here, man, that is the best. So. And these guys sound like they're really committed to play as one versus 11 or 12 individuals. So
man, they were in it from the time practice started. They were in it, screaming out plays, screaming out encouragement to one another. I found it ironic that when they had something for the troops, where they were paying one of the NBA players for the troops, sort of like in the game of horse.
Mm-hmm.
And they called one of the troops, and they called LeBron James up. And guess who was the first guy off the bench cheering for LeBron? Carmelo.
Who? Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. See, and I'm not just because I'm a Knicks fan, but the fact is this guy, and maybe it's because he's in New York or he's got the stigma that he's a selfish player, that he only thinks about scoring, and Carmelo just thinks about Carmelo. I think as a star in the NBA, you got to have a little bit of that, but you also understand, because you are a big-time player, that you're not the only one that's going to be able to win games. You got to have pieces around you. You got to be able to share the ball with other people in order to be able to win even a regular season game, not even an NBA series or playoff series or whatever. So you need pieces. I mean, it's obvious. The big three in Miami, they thought it was going to be a piece of cake last year, and it didn't happen. They realize they got to do a little bit more. They got to share the basketball a little bit more for each other. And it happened this year, unfortunately, but it happened. So.
Yeah, and you saw Tyson touch on it earlier, that when they were speaking about Jeremy Lin not signing the contract sheet, not knowing
mm-hmm.
if the Knicks would have money. So let me ask you, would the Knicks have money to even match that offer?
Yes, I think the Knicks are going to have. I know that they I read today, I think it was, that they, or late last night, that they weren't going to match for Landry Fields. So, yeah, they're definitely going to have some money, or they're going to find some money to make sure that they sign Jeremy Lin. They need a young back point guard. They need a young point guard with a lot of energy and a lot of upside, or not a lot of upside, need upside, versus all these old retread point guards. Like they had the two last year, and I hate to knock them, but they were old. Mike Bibby and Baron Davis. They're both old, and they're both injury-prone. They got Jason Kidd to help mentor this guy, help this guy along, and to spell him, which is a hell of a backup. But they need a starting point guard that's got energy and can distribute the ball and is unselfish. Let me put it that way. He's not a Westbrook type. I'm not knocking Westbrook, but Jeremy Lin and Russell Westbrook are two different type of point guards. And Jeremy Lin is more like a facilitator versus Westbrook. Yes. So, and the Knicks need that because they have Carmelo Anthony, they got Mari Stoudemire, they got Tyson Chandler, and they also got the I'm trying to think who the freaking guy is that they also re-signed one of the best 3-point
shooters. J.R. Smith or Steve Novak?
Either one of them. Great spot-up shooters. More J.R. Smith is more streakier than Steve Novak. He's more of a consistent 3-point shooter. You got to have him back. Both these guys are instant offense, so you got to have him back and be able to have somebody feed him the ball, facilitate him. So, and Jeremy Lin is that, in my opinion, that type of play. He's very unselfish. Only cares about winning, the team winning. Doesn't care about overall stats, in my opinion. So I think they can only get better with the more time they play. And I think a stabilizing factor in the locker room and on the court is Jason Kidd. So.
That's the season for New York coming up. And I got a chance to rap with KD. He told me that he was very excited about the addition of Hasheem Thabeet to the fold. He felt like Hasheem Thabeet hasn't been in a stable system since he's been in the league, and they look forward to getting him in there and working with him. And let me tell you something. I got a first-hand chance to check out the number one draft pick, Anthony Davis.
Right.
Kid's a real deal.
Really?
Held his own at the practice yesterday.
Really? Okay. I mean, he's probably as big as my pinky, but his size and pretty versatile, especially handling the ball. Because I think he used to be a guard or a forward before he had a growth spout.
Yes, exactly right. And he was able to show out yesterday. He caught a couple of alley-oops, made one little post move, had a jump at the practice. This guy's going to be good. That's an excellent draft pick right there.
Imagine him and Rivers together with that coach, Monty Williams. I like Monty Williams as a coach, a young coach. He's Professor Einstein, I should say Professor Frankenstein, building a monster down there. That's the monster in waiting. You're gonna hear some things from New Orleans. They got two good pieces going along with the pieces they have down there now. They're trying to build a winning culture down there, and I think they're in a good start. So.
And I also got to show some love to Kevin Love, man. That's a very underrated player. He showed me some things yesterday.
Really?
Yes.
Man, you sound like you were highly impressed with the whole atmosphere and the whole what took place. These guys showed out and I wouldn't say didn't hold anything back. And I was surprised when Mike Krzyzewski said that this was the first or second time that these guys really had a chance to practice with one another. That really surprised me.
Because they haven't had a full chance. Everybody's been hurt. Wade went down, like you said. Chris Bosh was out. Blake Griffin goes down. There goes your full court scrimmage. You need 10 to run.
Right. Right. Well. I have to wait. I can't wait to see these guys actually play in real competition and see how well these guys mesh together. And they sound like
did you watch the Dominican game the other night?
No. No, I didn't.
You missed that one? All right, well, tune in to the game tomorrow where they play Brazil at 8:30. I'm not sure if ESPN is current or not. It should be on ESPN, though.
Okay. All right. Well, we got a little bit more than 3 minutes left in the show. Is there anything else that you want to tell us about your experience yesterday?
Just happy for the troops, man. The troops needed something like that to get their minds off of everything. Troops were there with their families. They had a little 3-point shootout and getting prizes, autographs. The Team USA women were in the house as well, so they got to meet a couple of those players with Candace Parker and Twin Cash and others. So it was a very good time, man. I was definitely impressed with the setup. The Nike World Festival was also going on at the same time, so it was a good time for all to bring the family down. I think they have something going on today at GW. Well, it's another Hoops for Troops thing later on today at about 4 o'clock. So if any military families want to get involved with that, make your way to GW. And I'll see you guys Monday at the game. I will be reporting from the game Monday for the USA Women and the Men.
And what's the address to this place?
George Wise, I think it's 2200. Not sure of the road, but it's at George Washington University.
Okay, George Washington University. That's what I meant. Okay, George Washington University. And that's taking place tomorrow. You said at what time?
No, that's today. That's today.
Today? I'm sorry.
They're having another Hoops for Troops thing today up there. So I think it's only invited military families. But if anybody wants to go to the game, tickets are still available at the Verizon Center. Doubleheader tomorrow with the USA Women's and Men's team kicking off at 5:30 from the Wizards' home at the Verizon Center.
Okay. Well, that being said, it's about a little less than 2 minutes left in the show. I'm going to close this thing out with saying this. I didn't finish. I just barely got started with the running backs. I've only gone up to the number 6 running back that I see. I'm going to be doing this again on next Sunday, and I think I'm going to be – I think this show is going to run a lot longer than an hour. It's probably going to be at least an hour and a half. It could run to 2 hours because I want to go through a lot of running backs.
You're getting in the fantasy mode, and I'll have that promo for you next week about the running backs.
Yes, and I'm going to be giving you some people, some sleepers and guys that I think are going to have some breakout years that I see down the road. It's going to be some surprises, and you guys are going to probably listeners are probably going to say no, that's not going to happen. I truly believe it's going to happen, and it shouldn't be a surprise. And at the tail end of this, who calls in but Mr. FSP Kermit?
Well, I got to be Kermit, dude.
You call in with 30 seconds left in the program. Hello, Mr. Vic Gardner. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I saw Black had posted the placard or the graphic for In Progress. I was like, oh Lord, look, what time is it? It's like 7:58 here.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it is what it is. But I know I missed the show, but I had to call in. So
that's
calling.
Okay. No problem. Anyway,
well,
like I was saying.
We'll excuse you because it was Oops for Troops yesterday and today.
Yes.
We'll excuse
you. Yes. So we went over some Team America things that were happening in like the last half an hour or whatever. So I'm going to finish the running backs. It's probably going to be an hour and a half show next week because I only hit on about six running backs, and I want to be able to get to at least 30 running backs. At least the 30 running backs and some sleepers and breakout running backs next week. So it's at least going to be an hour and a half. It could be a two-hour show because I've been going a little in-depth on these running backs, and I want to be able to help people who play fantasy football, especially those who get beat all the time, Vic. So I'm going to be probably an hour and a half, maybe a two-hour show next week. But with that being said, tune in next week, 10 a.m. The master plan will be in effect. I'll be the man with the running backs for fantasy football. Also, on Thursday, Black will have some more interviews of more goings-on with Team America. Am I right about that, Black?
We'll probably have a post-game from
okay. Okay. And the FSP crew show is 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Thursday. And then after that be the No Chaser with Mac and myself as the host and co-host. That'll be 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with David Aldridge breaking down some things that are going on with Team America and also the previous NBA draft. And then on Saturday, I don't know if Mr. Vic is going to be there. He told me he's going to school. Are you going to be available to do the FSP show on Saturday?
I'll be there this Saturday.
Okay, we'll be the FSP show with Vic Gardner, me the co-host. You got to have somebody with some faintness with Vic because it is what it is.
That's why I'm there. I am the same one.
So we have a vast array of shows with a vast array of people to give you a vast array of knowledge. Tune in to wherever you please, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, satisfy whatever pleasure you have on one of those days. With that being said, I'll close the show out with what I always close the show out with. Before I do that, I'm going to ask Vic and Black if there's any closing remarks before I do what I do.
I'll let Black go first.
People, enjoy the day. Thanks for tuning in.
I knew it was going to be short. Ladies and gentlemen, fantasy football is in full effect 24/7. Check out the master plan on Sunday. Do what you got to do because the guy doesn't have much time left on this earth. Want to make sure that he gets his message out.
Wow.
You know,
that's right, that's right.
Want to make sure he sees as much as he can before he goes to the great beyond. You don't know which party he's going to. So, you know, I might be at the tail end, but I'm going to kick you in the end. I still love you, JT.
Yeah, well, you know what? Vic is right about one thing. I am on my tail end, all right? I'm 58 years old, so I'm on the downside. I'm not on the upside. In fact, when we come out, we're on the downside. We live to die, so that's the deal. Anyway, as I always close this show out, I'm closing it out the same way. Life is a sphere. What goes around comes around. Vic, listen to this. Be careful how you treat people. Today may be for you, but always remember tomorrow is for someone else. Just how God pulls you up, he can pull you down. You never know who you will need in the future. So, Vic, be careful how you treat people.
How's it going to be? I treat people nicely.
You know I love you, man. That's why I bust your chops like that. Otherwise, I wouldn't even be bothered with you. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. And if this Sunday is as good as I think it's going to be, listen to, like I said earlier, this is the 90s girl group today. I opened it up with En Vogue and Salt and Pepper with What a Man, and that's me. I'm going to end it with Zayn and a Groove Thing. Till the next time, I'm out.
Well, it's a groove thing. It's got a funky swing.